This week, I've got two Origin legends on. We're going to talk about recruitment. Chris Walker, Willie Mason, welcome, boys.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Let's go.
Welcome to the Body Science Podcast, bringing you everything you need, want, and should know about health, fitness, nutrition, and training. As always, the information contained in this podcast is for the information purposes only and is not designed to diagnose or be prescriptive to treat, prevent, or manage any injury, disease, or other health-related condition. Today's podcast is brought to you by Whey Ultra, a 100% whey advanced performance protein designed for results. The ultimate in post-workout nutrition, Whey Ultra boasts a 4x whey protein matrix of peptides, isolates and concentrate, is loaded with BCAAs and EAAs, and is rapidly absorbed for maximum recovery and lean muscle growth. It's enhanced with prebiotics, probiotics and 5 digestive enzymes, plus is free from soy, gluten, added sugar, artificial flavors and sweeteners, and every batch is banned substance tested. Everything your body needs for recovery, nothing you don't.
Welcome to Body Science HQ, the world of fit, happy, healthy and recruitment, mate. We're going to talk about athletes, recruitment, sport, what's good, what's bad, what needs to be looked at and what we can do better.
Yeah, well, start with you, Texas. You've been through obviously the same career as we come through, same era and retired about the same time. You got a little nephew, Sam. What has he been through? And I know he's just recently signed with the Roosters. What sort of, been through as like the recruitment? Why did he sign with the Roosters? What sort of obviously the Broncos and the Titans would have been chasing him, a lot of other clubs, because he's a prodigy. So what was the family choice to go to the Roosters?
Oh, mate, it came down a lot of things. Like, Sammy, he's a really smart kid. His football IQ is outstanding. He's a straight A student at school. He goes to Ipswich Grammar. He went to Ipswich Grammar. And he's got that really good IQ. He sat down with his dad, sat down with his manager, Clinton Shivkoski, and he had, I think, 13 of the 16 NRL clubs after him. He's a wonderful player. He's got a wonderful head for rugby league. The choice was they sat down and they went through all the club. It wasn't about money. Obviously, he got a really big deal with the Roosters. But Ben was sold after they met with the Roosters. He was sold. He said, "Listen, I'm banking on Sam's going to the Roosters." Anyway, so he went up to Sam. He said, "Right, are we right to make the choice?" He said, "No, Daddy." So I haven't met with the other 7 clubs yet. And Ben said, "Right, if you want to take your time with it." You know, Ben wanted it done straight away so then he could continue on with his schooling. But what jumped out for the Roosters was Trent Robinson. He took the time as a head coach, you know, to sit down with his kid and take an interest in what he was doing in school.
Do you think that's important?
If that
had happened, just say when we were younger, do you think it would have been different? Just say if a head coach had to come out to Toowoomba when you were a 16-year-old.
Well, see, that's
or
the
if
thing.
A head coach had to come out to Toronto West, where I was from, it could impact on you going to that club, couldn't it?
Are you telling me the coach doesn't come out?
It doesn't come out, mate.
Not all of them. I had Ben and Shane, my two older brothers. They trailblazed their way through the Broncos before I got there. So Wayne knew who I was when I was coming through, obviously through Ben and Shane. But some of these kids don't have the luxury of meeting a top coach. Like, as a young kid, like I used to play, you know, you'd play with these kids who were, you know, only born in the family.
Yep.
They didn't have a pathway to go through. Like I said, I had Ben and Shane go through, and I knew all the first graders when I was 14, 15.
Yeah. Yep. So I come from a different one where, like, Toronto wasn't known for rugby league, and I just had to, 17-year-old, move down to Belmore, coming from Toronto West in Newcastle. I didn't even know what a Lebanese person was.
Wow.
Honestly, like, I didn't know anything. I didn't know who the head coach was. I didn't know anyone. So I think clubs personally, I don't think, hope to God, I'm not sure what the recruitment's like now. They should be like, if they see a person like myself in a place who, you know, I was brought up in a commission house and everything like that, it would have meant a hell of a lot if a head coach had to come. I know Tim Sheens rang me and a couple of coaches rang me, but he, you know, obviously he was in North Queensland. But if he had made the move to come down all the way to where I was as a 16, 17-year-old, I would have signed in North Queensland. That's how impressionable you are at that age. And that's what happened with Robbo. I mean, like, if Mal Meninga or if, you know, even Steve Folks had to come, I wouldn't have hesitated about going to the Bulldogs.
And also
I hesitated because I didn't know anyone.
And also too, if a head coach goes and sees their family life and how they've been brought up, that's a perfect insight to how they got to coach.
Absolutely.
How they got to coach the kid. Like, to get the best out of a kid, you can't just rock up. And if a kid, you know, grew up in a housing commission and had an abusive father, for say, well then, you know, the head coach knows that. Well, they're going to coach that player totally different than what a Cooper Cronk.
But you're going to educate the kid as well.
Exactly. And that's where I think rugby league falls down a little bit that way, because they expect every kid. I don't know the upbringing of Cooper Cronk. He looks like he comes from a fantastic family. You know, the way that he holds himself, the way that he plays in a game, the way that he reads a game, the way that he puts his trade out there.
Yeah.
But where these young kids, like some of these coaches, they sight unseen, they don't even know.
This is the thing, like where I can touch on, like a lot of the Polynesian boys, they come from a different culture, you know, totally different culture. They go to church all the time, but you don't, you know, they go to church on Sunday, you don't know what they're doing on Saturday. You know what I mean? So like, and it's totally different. If you see a head coach come out there, regardless of, if a head coach does come out there, but as I go back to that psych evaluation, you need to actually put money, because it's an investment. You're putting an investment into these kids. You're hoping it's a 10-year investment. You could put, like, especially now, well over $10 million if this kid's any good. Yeah. So you want to know what sort of background these kids come from, especially the Polynesians. There's a lot of, from any sort of background, abusive relationships, a lot of drinking, drugs, alcohol. Your brother could be into this, could be into that. You don't really know. So you got to do a whole family tree check, because you don't want the kid coming down as a 17, 18-year-old. His brother was into this. His brother, this is the only way I can speak of this, because I was dealt those cards. That was the stuff that happened to me, and like I could have went any way, and like these kids, it's happened to these kids now, you know, they don't know where they are at 16, 17, and if a head coach comes out there and recruits you, that would mean so much to a kid, and I'd hope to God that the head coaches are doing that. I think the Craig Bellamy's and the Wayne Bennett's, I think they do that, but I'm more talking about, just say if John Morris, you know, like, you know, as a kid, if John Morris comes out to your house, it would mean a hell of a lot. Absolutely, regardless of his name or anything. Yeah. If John Morris come out to see you, and if you live in Broken Hill, and then but the Roosters or the Bulldogs coach couldn't be fucked going out to see you, you're probably going to go to Cronulla
every day of the weekend, because you, and also too, it gives the kid a bit of sense of feeling, a bit of sense of purpose too.
It makes you feel wanted.
You're going righto. I love what I'm doing. I'm going to get paid to do what I do. I'm going to get it to go train with my mates, be healthy, and I've got the first grade of the fucking first grade coach rocking up in my joint
and just tell
and giving me a little bit of, oh geez, that's a bit of me time.
But give it to you proper too. Don't sugarcoat. So look, I want you in the team, but you fuck up and
there's a lot of that's important, isn't it?
You can't have your coach out there just to seal the deal. No. You know, you get out there and you just tell him what the culture's about, what we expect from you when you get down here, X, Y, and Z, and then you make your decision. Like the head coaches should be doing that now. Recruitment people should be doing that. Should be sending major players out there, to come and get you.
Yes.
You know, tell people what, if you come down to the Bulldogs or the Roosters, this is what we expect. You don't think you're going to come down on big money, blah, 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 and have a big, easy run to first grade. Well, that's what, doesn't happen.
That's exactly what Roosters did with Sam, getting back to Sam. Luke Keary went and had breakfast with him, sat down with him and said, listen, mate, you come here, this is what we expect of you. So the table's already put on the cards are already put on the table for Sam. He already knows, come December 1st when he's going to be down there for pre-season training, he knows what to expect.
What he's up for.
Because he's met the coach, he's met the man that's driving the ship, and he's met one of the senior players who's his deputy, that, you know, if I don't toe the line, and I know now when I sign or before I sign, well, I know what direction I'm going to be in. I know that I've got to follow their rules, I've got to get in their culture, and I've got to do the right thing, because I've met Luke here. He's laid the law down to me, because he's been there now for, he's played, what, first grade for eight years.
Yeah.
You know, I want to do that. And Sam's a young kid, and he's a smart kid, that he gets that in his brain now. He goes, right, I've got to go down there and perform. And that's my benchmark right there.
And how does recruitment work? You're like, you drop a young kid in another city, gets a pay packet all of a sudden.
I'm not sure how it works. I remember when I come down to the Bulldogs, it was a share house.
Yeah.
I was 17.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, it's a good idea. I think it's a good idea because you're right near, we live
as long as it's monitored by the right people, senior
people. There was no girls allowed, there was no alcohol allowed.
That's fine.
Which is fair enough. That was at 17, 18 years old. I moved out after about 6 months. Because at that stage, I think it was even less. At that stage there, obviously my father just passed away, so I wasn't going to listen to anyone.
Yeah.
So there was a guy there who was trying to tell me what to do, and I was just rebelled and said, fuck off, don't tell me what to do, whatever. He was a great person. He's a great man. But at that stage in my life, I didn't want anybody telling me what to do apart from my old man. Yeah. So they still do that. I think they do that at Canterbury. Still, they have a sort of dip. Yeah. I think the people that were doing it back then have moved on. They've gotten a lot older now. But they've got the same sort of system, which is very important, because a lot of people come from the country and they want that family environment still. That's very important to a lot of kids. I wanted that. I'm from a big family, 5 sisters and 2 brothers. We used to sit around the table every night. So you need, this comes back to the recruitment and the psych evaluations. Knowing your players is so important. Massive. And I think we can eradicate all the shit that happened in the last couple of years, especially in the last preseason. The next 10 years, we're going to make these kids like great human beings and great players.
There's enough people involved in the club to look after the kids individually. Virtually, there is enough help out there, and a good help in every club to sort out these kids individually. And that's important. If you can go to a club with a good culture, like a Roosters, Broncos, you know, Melbourne.
Yeah.
Melbourne down there, they they know Melbourne. I was down there for half a year in 2006. I went down there. I was in the wilderness of what I wanted to do personally. I busted up with a girlfriend. I didn't know where I was going and what I was doing. Went down there with a totally wrong attitude. But the disadvantage that the Melbourne have got is no one plays rugby league in Melbourne. Yeah. But they go down there and they've got these families involved in the clubs, and they've got these guys that are involved in the clubs that look after these kids. They're in share houses and they're looked after and they're monitored.
And he makes them work.
And he makes and you got
Belly makes you work like labour and then come into like the NRL.
Fair enough, too.
Yeah, because that makes you appreciate play.
But even if you're like a superstar player, like Jason Riles went down there, he had to work. Yeah. And then you go do trades.
I think all that changed when I went down there and I didn't buck the system. But yeah, you know, Melbourne, they've got that disadvantage. They don't have the families like they can pick up these Brisbane can pick up Brisbane kids, still live with their mum and dad, go to training
in Belmore. Like I come down when I was a 17-year-old, so I think they still have that structure with the kids. So it's very important just say to have a family. Like if most people are from, you know, obviously like families and everything like so. Coming down to a club, they don't have that environment there. You're still like, it sucks. You don't want to live by yourself or anything like that. You still want to hang out with that sort of family environment. Yeah, you don't know anything.
No,
you still you have no friends or anything. Yep. So it's like it's very important for the club to know that.
And does the club offer a lot of outside of coaching feedback to the young guys? Like, have they got mentors, specialists?
There's enough coaches. Even like we talk about past players and greats of clubs, and they don't get involved in clubs. Well, they're not asked. That for me, like even at the Titans, Broncos, I played at a few clubs. Probably played more than Willie. I'd love to be involved with an NRL club and do these and work with these kids.
Saying that exactly what you're saying. I just say like when I go back to the era before us, it was different because they weren't pros. They had about 5 or 6 years of being professional, but we went through that era where we were professionals all the way. And as I said, like through the social media era, through everything. Media, so like, why wouldn't you get players that have just recently retired in the last 5 years at your club to try and teach these young kids? That's where I've got my foot in the door with some clubs trying to teach these kids what life's all about. Life skills, you know, if you get the life skills, everything in order, football's the easiest thing. That is the easiest thing. You're getting bored down because you're a good footballer.
Right. Yeah.
You got to get all the other little things in order. And that's the big thing. You got to get everything off the field in order. And then on the field, that's where you make your money.
So even with social media now, like, you can use it as an advantage. You can use it as a disadvantage. I when we started sort of towards the back end of my career, 2009 or 2008, I remember signing my first Twitter account, you know, and I didn't know how to use it. I was, you know, people were coming and abusing me and I'd abuse them back where, you know, I had no training from it. And the beauty of it now, the clubs are so aware of social media. It's so big. It's so predominant. Not just a club's life. Everyone's life. Everyone's on it. I don't know many.
But before, just say in the 2000s, that was just like a few like forums. You know, they can get on the net and they could hammer you a little bit. Yeah. But now you play one game while you're playing that. If you're a little bit sensitive, mate, these fucking clubs, these players are getting absolutely destroyed.
Especially the Doggies fans,
like the
mate,
Dogs fans, relentless. You know, like and they ask.
Poor old Ben Hunt, like Ben Hunt's. Oh my God! That kid, if you did a psych on him, he's a lovely kid. Bennett, my two brothers took over, had him for one game at the Jets when he was at the Bronx. He got dropped back, and they said he was one of the most fantastic kids. Turned up with a great attitude of training, went out and played unbelievable. Got picked for Origin the next week. He gets absolutely hammered. Now this is another thing we talk about. Ben's young fella Sam, and they did a poll on him when he just signed with the Roosters about 3 months ago or 2 months ago, and there was a couple of guys that were, you know, giving it to him, like these old guys. We're giving it to him. And Ben said, "Righto, Sam, come here. I need to show you something." And just give him a little quick education. And I think it's a wonderful education for kids coming through. He said, "Righto, come here." He said, "You know, here's some comments about you signing. Here's some good ones. You know, that's nice and fluffy." He said, "Here's some bad ones." And Sam goes, "How do you feel about that?" And Sam, being a level-headed kid that he was, he goes, "Oh, you know, that's their opinion." He said, "Righto." He goes, clicked on their profile. One was a 50 or 6-year-old bloke who was about this big, looked like a drunk that kept on drinking down the pub. And Ben said, "Are you really going to take his opinion, you know, for gospel? Yeah. Or are you going to take his opinion and go, you know what? He said this about me." The bloke probably hasn't even stepped on a football field, wouldn't know what talent looked like. He said, "They're the guys." He said, "If you do have a long career, they're the sort of guys that are going to give you bad feedback." He said, "Does it really bother you?" And Sam being the kid, he goes, "Mate, I couldn't give a shit."
And that comes down to parents.
He's lucky someone said that.
apparently.
That comes, but that comes down to parenting, and that comes down to educating. Mm-hmm. He's obviously got good parents with Ben, and he's been an NRL player. He's copped some criticism.
That's right.
He's copped criticism himself. That's why he showed him like that. Most parents haven't played NRL, haven't done anything. So it comes up. There's a lot of responsibility on your parent, and if you don't have parents, which I was going back to the background checks on kids, the club needs to fill that void. And they need to understand their players, and they need to educate their players with social media. Now, it's not just about, come down and play football. Are you strong enough to cop this criticism? Can you deal with it? Can you deal with it mentally? Because social media and everything can destroy players. Like, mentally, it can ruin your game. It's just like, I can never really see someone really getting to me, when it comes to social media, because I'm not built that way. But young kids these days, they're built different. They're very sensitive. Very resilient. They can't cop criticism. And that's up to the coach you've got to baby some of these kids.
Yep.
It has to happen. Or you've got to get guys, just say like myself, like Chris, like Rennie Matua, all these guys who have been around the club, been through the ringer in life and on and off the field, to teach you some shit and how to handle yourself.
That's right. Because
you can't have the head coach doing everything.
No.
The head coach needs some good people and good mentors around him just to come in and try and help these kids when they're 16, 17. Come in and influence them in a different way. Like, things that need to happen. And clubs have access to every player. And it's not going to be on the cap. You're not going to ask for millions of dollars or anything. Like, imagine putting someone on a retainer. Here's 50 grand.
Yeah.
The NRL, but here's 50 grand or here's 100 grand, mate. Can you go around to most clubs and talk to some of the boys, tell them some real shit? Instead of sugarcoating everything, things are going to be all fucking rainbows and puppy dogs and everything's going to be great. You're going to earn $1 million. You're going to play Origin. You're going to play for Australia, win comps, and then retire.
If I was running the NRL, I'd have you with the site guys. You would have pre-prepped how it's all going to work, like what we're going to roll it out this.
You're going to talk to your players.
He's going to get the quality from someone who's educated. He's going to get someone who's been educated on the field and off the field. And what you're going to get at the end is someone who's got knowledge.
And also comes down to educating brothers, sisters, and mothers and fathers.
Absolutely.
Of the kids. Because you know what? My mum grew up with football all her life. She had four boys, me and my three brothers. And plus my old man played in the Brisbane comp when the Brisbane comp was really good. So she's been around football, plus her brother played Queensland Rugby Union. My mum wouldn't go to any rugby league games towards the end of our career because she couldn't cop the criticism that you'd hear from the crowd. Now, it's just not at the crowd or the game where you're copping criticism. You're sitting at home after.
They're in your lounge room.
They're in your lounge room.
They're giving you more than what they
Yeah. So you know what? As a winger, I was a winger center. I used to hear everything from the grandstand. I used to hear everything. I'd hear a bloke 30 rows back giving it to me because
that was a bonus about being in the middle. I was too busy talking shit to the other team.
But mothers and fathers, they've got to be educated as well.
Yeah.
Like what I said.
Does that happen?
No,
I don't know.
It doesn't happen. No. Because you know what? I know players that, their mothers and fathers wouldn't go to the games. Now they're going to see their son, little Johnny or little Mick, who's getting a copping it on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And the thing is, because the kids are so sensitive now, because of social media, in my opinion, it feeds back to the mums, the dads, it affects them. And the kids, all their life, if your mum and dad were down, you'd feel it.
The difference is, with myself personally and playing and having a big family, I always used to come down to the games. They were really young. But I would cop a fair bit of shit from fans and everything like that, but it was never really off, overboard, because if it was overboard, my family would be just like straight into them.
Mm.
But even if they called someone, you suck, Mason, they get checked, But when it gets a little bit, if it got racial or if it got really personal, most of the stuff that they say to me, it's just really a wanker and all this sort of stock standard bullshit. I mean, that would never, ever really affect me, But like going back to educating the families, it does affect families. Because just say if your kid wasn't that good a player and he's copping so much shit, Ash Taylor at the moment.
I worry about his
mental health. I don't worry about him as a player. I think he'll get back on his feet and find his feet again.
Oh, definitely.
But I worry about him mentally, because like me as a player, I never really got bagged as a player. It would be just people just having a crack because they could. You know what I mean? They're not going to say it to me in a pub. They're going to say it to me when I'm on the field, when they're halfway up the stadium and all that kind of stuff. It was harmless to me. But Ash Taylor's copping some stuff, some real, real personal stuff. You know what I mean? So I hope to God that the club has put things in place to help that kid, because I worry about him. And a lot of players, like even myself, like Rennie and Willie Tong Wills, we all talk about that stuff. So I hope he's all right off the field.
Yeah.
Most of the talk with us when a kid is copping it is like, can he deal with it? Can he deal with the shit that's copping?
Is he going home in a dark place?
Is he going home to like to no one with no support? Yeah. Like, I worry about that. Is the club supporting him? Is the coach around him?
Yeah.
You know, like now the coach is gone. He's got new coaches in. Are they sort of, and it's not about like coddling him and making him feel like a little kid. It's just being a good human being and looking after him.
Because at the end of the day, we are playing football. It's not like we're...
It's a man's game. And it's just like sometimes when you get a little bit, oh, I'm a little bit depressed, people start bagging the shit out of you. It's like, this is real life. Depression is real.
Yeah.
You know, mental health is here. We do so much awareness about it. Don't think that your rugby league masks a lot of it because you're in a you're regimented, you're on a schedule, you don't get time to fucking think to yourself.
Yeah.
You play, you're up, you're down, you train, you're off season. Everything is masked. Until you retire and you can step back from the game, or if you go through a little bit of adversity during the year, then it might come to the forefront. But other than that, you can hide it. Like Willie Tonga was the best person. Like during his whole career, I would never ever expect that he was depressed. Won competitions, won Origins, played for Australia, World Cups, done everything. He got diagnosed with depression a year ago.
Yeah.
He had it his whole life, but it got masked because everything was regimented and on a schedule. You're getting told what to do. You're a robot, this. But until you get kicked out into the real world and you got to start dealing with shit, then it comes to the forefront and you're like, fuck, I've actually got this. You know, like you don't realise it, but it's proper. It's happening.
And it's magnified too.
And a lot of these players, they don't know what they got yet. And you don't want to get diagnosed. You don't want to go to the head doctor. But there's a lot of noise in that head, man. Like you go home, some of the players that I knew, they go home and just fucking stare at a TV for like hours. It's not normal, man.
They won't answer their phone.
They might just go down the pub and drink fucking 10 schooners by themselves.
Yeah.
That to me, like back then, I don't think that was like anything. But now that's a big sign of being depressed. You know,
and that's all too. I'm a big fan. I love being able to talk about my story and my pathway and giving that to young kids. See, like if I didn't train, once I finished playing football, I had a business. I'd depression, I'd anxiety, I'd stress. I had everything going. Like anything that was there, I had it.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until I started getting back in and training with my boys and going out and playing with Ben and Shane at Ipswich where I got out of that and I thought to myself, I'd train my brain to go, you know what? I was a mental slob. Once I started hanging around with the boys and training again and get myself into that and even being involved with the Titans or doing commentary for ABC or Triple M, it gave me a sense of purpose.
Yeah.
Where the education outside of football for these young kids needs to be more. Like we can't change and it's magnified more when you're copping it from fans and when you're copping it from the opposition fans. Now they've got every right. They pay their $20 or $50 to buy their ticket, so they can go and say whatever they want. There's not a rule. Once you buy the ticket, you got to sit there quiet.
Yeah.
They've got every right, and it's only going to get louder, and it's gotten louder and 10 times worse with social media. We need to educate our young guys coming through, and from a young age too. These young guys who are 15, 16, who are guns, who are going to be in an NRL system, that's where they need to be educated. Even back down to 13 now, there's young kids being poached or being picked up by NRL clubs. They need to be educated along with the families because everyone thinks their kid's the best. I don't care who it is. Like you've got a kid, you think they're the best football player, the best netball player, whatever sport they're playing, marble.
Yeah.
But you're not trained or you're not, because you're so focused on your kid, you forget about the millions of other fans out there that got an opinion. Everyone's got an arsehole, everyone's got an opinion. Some of them are dirty, some of them are clean. But you've got to educate your kid to know that once they're in that system, that it's not all rosy. You know, the pay packet's good, being fit's good, being out with your mates is good and playing football is unbelievable. But there's an ugly side to it that we just need to educate our kids. And we're sort of doing it at the moment, but I think there's a lot more ground we need to make up to the fans because they're always going to win.
All right, let's flip the whole script now and go, all right, that's the recruitment and that's starting. We've come out the other end. What do you think about the NRL and the end of your career, what they've done and the places, what they've put in place for people that are transitioning into normal life? We're both doing it. This is the real talk where people aren't really talking about it because it's so sensitive. And a lot of players, like I said, like Willie Tonga, just come down with depression. A lot of my mates, you know, they don't know what they're doing.
But see, mate, it's a serious thing, like you're saying. You're talking about people's lives here. Like that all of a sudden you're running out, you got jersey, you've got relevance, you got nothing. All of a sudden,
it's like dropping off a cliff.
So why aren't we getting, and I mentioned the word psychs before, working with you guys, why aren't we setting that up in the early days? And that person then stays with that person through their career to the end of their career. And it's more than just a club driven thing. It's a sport and industry driven thing.
It's a game. So my point is, so I've come out there, I've retired recently, and my retirement has been quite, it hasn't been that hard, because I've set myself up and for this, you know, like, but I think the game, and I'm a different story. Like 90% are coming out of the game, they're not happy with their lives, because all they do is identify themselves with being a rugby league player. And I just think rugby league players have got more substance to them than they think.
Yeah.
Like, I never looked at myself as Willie Mason, just a rugby league player. I'd rather be a better bloke, a better person, a husband, a father, something like that. All those things, a better friend, a loyal friend, everything like that. And then, but yeah, I'm a good footballer. I was a footballer at the end of the day. And a lot of players, and you get taught things that a person would take 40 years to learn. Leadership, how to build teams,
culture,
loyalty, cultures, everything we do in rugby league for the last 10 or 15 years, then all of a sudden we go out to the real world and players just seem to forget about it. You could go into any system and you could use everything that you use from rugby league as a bonus.
Yeah. It's a life skill.
But all these life skills that we've picked up along the way, players just tend to go, okay, I've retired. Oh, I'm done now. I'm just a football player.
I don't have the backslappers anymore. You know, that's what a lot of them lose.
Just let me finish. Yep. But so this is like, this is my whole thing on it. Like, you need to start using the skills that you have and what you've been built and trained for the last, since you're 17 to 35. Like, you've learned so many skills where CEOs and everything want you to come and talk to them how to build a team.
Absolutely.
Do you know what I mean? Like, all these corporate talks, I go to corporate people and to teach them how to build a team. Like, that's natural to me. And leadership is natural to me. Like, respect and everything like that you learn along the way. These are skills that you pick up. They're life skills, but like the leadership and everything that, and building teams, people can't do that naturally, but we can. So we need to get out into the real world, get a niche where you're really good at, pick it and stick to it, because we're being given the tools, but we seem to forget about it. You know, like, and I think that the identity crisis, I hear that a lot. I'm like, where is this coming from? Like, I don't think, you know, if you're a bit of a self-centered prick, if you think you're just all they care about is you being a rugby league player. Like, you must be all about yourself. It's like, okay, I understand that we were rugby league players, but like, did you think that you're a superstar, megastar, like a fucking Lionel Messi or Ronaldo? They're superstars, LeBron James. We play rugby league, which is on the east coast of Australia. That's it. We're famous a little bit down the coast here, maybe in New Zealand, a little bit in England, but that's it. Yep. We're not on billions of dollars. We don't earn shit. So when I hear identity crisis and all I knew was football, yeah, that's all you did know was football, but you knew a lot of other skills and you've been given a lot of other skills in life and use that to your advantage. I don't think the game does enough for the transition. They try to act like they do, but I think they need to put in place little things like, when you do retire, there's a person there for the next 2 or 3 years for you to find your feet, because not everyone lands on their feet.
Yep.
A lot of people land on their knees or on their ass.
Yep. A lot of people land on their
ass. And especially in our era where people weren't earning millions of dollars, a few of us can't, there's only a percentage that can go into the media and can go into coaching. Majority has to go back in the real world. If they weren't smart with their money, that's when they start struggling, you know? So there needs to be some things put in place from the NRL to financially help players if they're falling on hard times for the next 2 or 3 years, and then hopefully find their feet. But there needs to be something, because I've seen so many stories and so many of my friends have hit hard times financially and it could be helped, because you put so much into the game. Something needs to happen where the game can sort of financially help you.
Absolutely.
See, I think I'm in this belief, because I noticed it when I was probably 25, 26. I used to go to sponsors functions at the Broncos. Like, Broncos, their sponsors, mate, they've got mega bucks. These guys are businessmen, and they're involved with the club because, you know why? They love football and they love football players. And I used to go to these sponsors functions, and I'd sit in the corner with 10 of my other mates, and I wouldn't move from there, and I wouldn't network the room.
Yep.
Once I started networking the room,
as a sponsor, I've seen that a lot.
And you know what? These guys are involved with these clubs. If you show an interest in what they do and how they run their business, mate, when you finish football, your leg up is through the roof.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't just have you're not at the front door knocking to get in. You're sitting at the table with these guys. And that's when these young guys, I sat down with Paul White, would have been 6 years ago. Mm-hmm. I had a business when I first finished. When I had football, I had an earth moving business when I was playing.
Yep.
And that was my exit strategy from rugby league. It didn't turn out that well, because I got done for millions by these developers, but that's another story, and we could do that on another podcast.
That's on a lounge that you do that on.
And so I'm in the rebuilding. I'm you know, waiting to go again and rebuild. Yeah. But these kids have got an opportunity that not many kids do. And you know what? That's what I'm talking. That's what I'm talking to Sam about now. Like Ben sat down, he goes, "Righto, boys." He said, "Before Sam goes down to Sydney, he's moving away from mum and dad. It looks like he's going to move in with Charlotte Kaslick and her partner. They're professional union players and whatnot. Yep. So that looks like it's on the cards. So he's hopefully set up with that way. But these young kids, if they show an interest with these sponsors, mate, the sponsors' eyes when you ask what they do, like I did, I started doing it at the Titans. Got talking to this guy at a turf farm. Mate, his eyes and his interest then back towards me was tenfold when I took an interest in what he was doing. And it wasn't like, give me a leg up. I just took an interest in what he did. He goes, mate, I need some bobcats and tippers for the farm. Right, mate, I'll get those for you.
Yeah.
And that was my leg up. And these kids, like when I was talking to Paul White, I said, you're under 20s. I said, when they go to sponsors functions, I said, where are they sitting? He goes, in the corner.
Mm.
I said, you talk to them about going to network the room? Because the Broncos, Roosters, Melbourne, you know, all of them.
Every club, even
Titans are coming last. But they've got some guys there, some heavy hitters behind them. That, you know what?
It's exactly what you said. Like, where are the boys standing? They're on, especially now, you have a look, they're on their phones in the corner. Like I remember being like, I was exactly the same as Texas. I wouldn't go around kiss everyone's ass.
No, you're not kissing ass, but you're taking interest.
I'd be like, all right, I'll just go and I want to know the sponsors. And like people know me genuine, I still get along with them really. Yeah. Now, financially, they'll try and sponsor shows. They'll do everything. Like I've had a relationship with Body Science for the last fucking 20 years, all because we're mates.
Yeah.
You know, like, so the opportunities that these young kids do get and we got, like, is ridiculous. You get put in the room where there's probably about $500 million worth
plus,
of money.
Plus.
So you don't get... So just say sport. The average Joe does never, ever get his foot in that door.
Yep.
You know, so you need to take advantage of everything that gets in your way. But people take it for... They take it for granted and they think, oh, this will happen all the time. When you retire, you never get allowed in those doors.
No.
Then this is why I wish I could tell a young player, and I do tell young players, don't kiss anyone's ass. Be real.
That's exactly right.
But these guys want to help you. They're sponsors of the clubs.
If you don't go in real and you try and go and kiss the ass, these blokes who run these businesses, they're not dills. Nah. They know that you're trying to fuck with them or just trying to use them.
They know real from fake.
They real from fake. So that's what I said. That's what we the meeting we're having with Sam. Like, he's got an opportunity to go to Roost. Wonderful organisation, and they've got
great corporate too.
And great corporate.
Yeah.
And if he plays his cards right and does the right thing on the footy field,
they've got terrible supplements, but.
No. Well, when I was there, I was Body Science. Oh, okay. So I know what's changed.
I don't know what they've done there. Well, you might have to bring Body Science up, eh?
You imagine how many premierships they could have. Anyway, so that's the beauty of these kids. Like, there's no excuse for kids to come out, you know, in the system and not have a business or not have an identity after football, because football's not going to last. So I don't know any rugby league player in my time,
Cameron Smith,
who's played football and gone, you know what? I've made enough from football. I'm not going to work for the rest of my life. I'm not even going to do commentary. Like Joey and Freddie and Wally and those guys, they're in the media. But that's still a job. They've still got to report to someone. Yeah. That's not retirement. But you know what? If these guys are smart and they even start a business, like there's some guys that are smart with their social media and they use it to their advantage. Like you've got the clothing companies
that is one of the most important things you've said here today. Like, you look at these young kids from an outsider's point of view, they come in, big bucks, big careers, all stops. And we talk about, we're probably educating them negatively on social media. It's bad, it's bad, it's bad, it's bad, it's bad. It is the one tool that you can set your brand up forever with.
Yeah, that's right.
And if we spent the time in the early days, like you, I think you were touching on that then, to actually give them mentors to teach them how to use their social media and create something of value.
Yeah, I'd hope to God a club would do that now. It's like, okay, you're 17, 18, you're in there. Have you got social media? Do you use it? What do you use it for? Do you use it just to perv on Sheila's and everything like that? Or do you use it for a voice, for anything like Twitter? You know, these kids, again, they can end up with 200,000, 300,000, 400,000.
And do you think these
corporates
wouldn't want to come in and help these guys? But what are you? Like, if you were sitting with me and you said, hey, I'm going to do stuff on how to throw a footy, I go, well, you need to go and talk to a Rebel Sport or someone and get mentored in that area there, because that's what you want to do, like education type.
Okay.
And start to set, you know, are you inspirational? Are you motivational? Are you education? What are you? And create these brands like these Instagram girls have, mate. Look at what they've done and stick that in football clubs, and you've got potentially.
I think that is on the cusp of happening.
It is. I think they're starting to smarten up.
That generation.
Yep.
But the ones
the club that, wins, 18, the NRL 18 wins.
Year old now, they're smart as fuck.
Yeah. Okay. I've got a question for you, social media wise.
Yeah, exactly.
I've got a question for you. If you're a sponsors function at one of the clubs you look after, and a kid come over and started talking to you about work and business, how impressed would you be for that kid and go, and he said to you, righto, who packages your stuff, yep. and you go, right, I've got to outsource that.
Yep.
And then he says to you, go, okay, well, I want to start a business like that. I want to learn what to do to get that, to get your business.
Yep.
What would you do if he was a young player that come to you and was willing?
Mate, I give a player all the time, and there are some players that do come and have a chat to you, and they become part of your family. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter if they're with another brand or through all that period there. You know, they might come and have a chat, need to talk some shit, need to work someone out, need an introduction. You know, that's the big thing there. It's not just about me. It's about who I can open up for other people.
100%.
Things I can do. You know, I went to the footy on the weekend with Kenny Wallace and a whole lot of other players, and one of my mates, Fletcher Dyson's there, and he's doing medical parts. Do you know Fletch?
Oh, yeah. I know who he is.
He goes to Kenny, are you interested in getting into medical, mate? Fuck talking to the other people Greg's talking to. Come and talk to me.
Yeah.
You know, like on the spot, you know, so whether Kenny might go to IOC and go down that path or whatever, but he's now got the option to go and that's a big dollar ticket. And it's exactly the same thing that these kids need to build their social media up correctly. These doctors are doing surgery all day long. They're not to talk to a fucking Olympian or a football player or someone who's got great stories.
That's right.
Not some kid who's gone to uni and talked about what he did on fucking O Week. You know what I mean?
That's the difference between like a lot of kids and a lot of people, like just say kids now and just say people that are our way. Like we've got so many stories to tell. We're a book full of knowledge, you know, even yourself, like just life skills, you know. We didn't go to uni or anything like that, but I can teach you how to be a decent human being.
And your clubs should go to their sponsors.
Regardless of teaching rugby league, it's just about making you a better person.
Yep.
You know, like I've been through the ringer off the field and on the field, everything. I'd like to think that I'm a way better person, you know, and learn from everything, you know. It's like, it's that sort of shit is priceless than a person who has got no, has been, you know, one-way ticket all the way through first grade. Yeah. No blemishes on it, nothing like that. Yeah, never learned anything. You've never been put back to learn anything. And it's just like, I know what I can give to a club. And like one day, that's not my end goal because I don't really care that much. But I know, and I've got too much knowledge to waste.
Yeah. Life skills.
Life skills, man.
I want to teach
these kids, man. I want to see what happened in last preseason of these dumb, uneducated, stupid idiots. Yeah. And that comes from the leadership in the team.
No, I think there should be a much tighter integration. There should be helping personal brand. So, I mean, the NRL is trying to get its brand right. You know, the club's trying to get its brand right. If they get the player's brand right, the club brand is strong. Yeah. The NRL, they need to turn it around and work it the other way.
To a player's brand, if it's tarnished when he's young, he can turn that around. And especially through social media, he can turn a really bad situation. Like what we saw with Penrith Panthers and you know, certain players and how they got into trouble. Those kids there now, they might have to sit back and be quiet for 1 or 2 years and rebrand themselves and recheck themselves. But they can come out far better what they were if they hadn't have got themselves into trouble. Like Willie and I, we had to rebrand ourselves a couple of times and go, you know what, we're going to pull ourselves back together. I probably haven't entirely, but you know, we can give those life skills to those kids because you don't want to, like you said, you don't want to sit in a doctor's office who's never played the game, never been in trouble through the game and go, you know what do I do through this situation? And he goes, well, hang on, let me see me doctor's box.
I haven't
got anything for that. But if you go see these guys who have been there, done it, and come through it, you know, they can give
that's
you some
priceless. It's priceless. That's the thing. I think there's so many people in our era that is waiting around and is retired that can put so much into clubs, in every single club, whether it be retired from the Titans, the Broncos, the Bulldogs, Roosters, everybody's around. And we want to help.
Yeah.
And if the clubs don't use us, shame on them. Because it's unlucky. We're sitting around here. Like, I do my thing on the side. Like, I do mentor young kids and everything like that. But, like, I could teach first grade or anything. Most people, like, what's going to happen in your whole football career? You know, and I think that's priceless. And clubs can use it, you know. But, like, they don't really use, you know, all the sources they can.
And also, too, like I said, getting back to family life for me, because I come from a family of that, you know, you stick with each other. If we're even talking to the mothers and fathers, they're getting a better understanding. They know what little Johnny's going into. You know, that's the end game. They want Johnny to go into the game and come out a better person.
Yep.
They don't want Johnny to go into the game and be tarnished and be dragged through the papers. I felt sorry for my mum and dad when I was playing because, you know, I didn't do things down the line. I was everywhere. And, you know, my mum and dad, even now, like, we have, you know, I've been out of the game for 9, 8 years. We have a bit of a laugh about it now. But even dad, I know that dad and mum are pretty proud people. And they go, you know, I wish you didn't do that. I wish you had better understanding for that. And, you know, we want kids in our game, because I think we have the best product in sport, not only in Australia, in the world. Like, it is brutal. Like, the Americans come over here, they love us. They think that what we put ourselves through is unbelievable. They wear pads and headgear and everything else. We do it skin on skin, or, you know, jersey on jersey, you know. But, you know, that's, and we want mothers and fathers at the grassroots levels to take Johnny to school and get him into into football, into rugby league, because
yeah,
that's what we need. And we don't need mothers going, oh, listen, we don't want our kids on video, that's what people are scared of
in the last preseason. That's what's happened. I don't want my kid to play
rugby.
Let's
educate them before they get
there. This is the thing. The next 10 years is so important for the game, you know, because we want kids to come into the rugby league world and leave a better person. You know what I mean? Like, instead of like all the shit that's just happened, and this is all education and everything like that. I just think that rugby league has got so much to offer, yet it just keeps getting hit, but it keeps getting back up, and we keep resting on that.
And this is the thing.
But it's just all education on these young kids. And I just want a parent to go, yeah, I want my kid to play rugby league because, you know what, he's going to learn priceless life skills and he's going to come out a better human being, instead of what they're thinking now.
And he could even have a business degree, or he could even have, he set up his own business. You know, as a parent, you want your kids to do all that. You know, you don't want your kids to go in there and be tarnished and have no one to educate you on your way through. That's, you know, just how it is.
Especially with the amount of help out there.
And like you said, Willie, back when we were coming into grade, we never had full-time first graders tell us what to do, or teach us, because they weren't full-time. They were going to jobs, and they were, you know.
Well, they just turned pro.
They were still learning that.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where we were on the back end of everything, you know, social media, and then into being a full-time professional.
Well, three things we can do to help a young kid, what are they?
Educate.
It is. It's all, I think everything is just education.
Yeah.
It's just, that's a big umbrella. You can just
But also education with the right people.
Yeah.
With the people who have been there, done it, made the mistakes, and then picked themselves up and learned them. Don't give them the doctors, or don't give them a reenactment. I think, you know, what they used to do with these kids, and they do a reenactment of what the situation is.
It's got to be a mix of you guys with that. The two have got to work together, I reckon.
Yeah, like, it's getting the right people and just educating kids, and that's full stop. You just can't go any further than that, because education is key to everything that you do in the world. Yeah.
And I'll tell you, when I was playing, if I had a guy that came in and was talking to the group collectively, and he'd never played the game and he was trying to educate me on something, you know what I'd do? I'd be like that after 2 minutes. And it wasn't a disrespect thing, it was just a thing. But
yeah, exactly.
if I had Wally Lewis when I was at the Broncos come in and talk to us about, yeah, it's things. Mate, I'd be like that, and I wouldn't move until he'd finished.
Yeah.
And you'd just sit there and you'd stare. But if you had past players come in there that's done it, that's where your true education is.
Yeah, it's got to be tailored to the individual.
And also, too, like you said,
there's enough people around there to have individual mentoring, and you know what I mean? And
imagine
education.
That's what they do for the game, though. Like, seriously,
the game
just becomes bigger
than it is. So many people want to help. Like, you have a look who's on the Gold Coast now who could help these young kids.
Mm. Oh, there's heaps.
There's heaps, and they want to do it. They don't want, no, I do it for free.
Mm. Yeah.
Do you know what? Because I don't want to see anybody fuck up and lose. Like,
I'm
and
sick
just
of
to be depressed, and it affects the game. So if it affects the game, it affects me. You know, like, even the bullshit that happened in the preseason, I was still getting hammered in Sydney because the people didn't realize, oh, you fucking mug football. I'm retired.
I've been out of the game for 8 years. 7 years.
What about your mates? I'm like, fuck with my mates.
All you footballers are the same.
All you footballers. No,
what about
your
walking wrong with me kids?
All your footballer mates and that. I'm like, so we're copping it.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, I've been out of the game for 3 or 4 years. I'm still copping this shit because of what's happened in all the other bullshit.
I don't even want to give it anymore. I don't even want to give it anymore. Yeah. Yeah.
We'll stop on that one. Yeah. All right, boys, thanks for coming. I really appreciate it. That was sensational.
Cheers.
Today's podcast was brought to you by our partners in Fit, Happy and Healthy, ASN, Nutrition Warehouse, DY Discount Vitamins, Fat Burners Only, Evelyn Fay, Mr. Supplement, or find a retailer online at bodyscience.com.au/retailers.